Working remotely, where you are shouldn't dictate what you do. Work from the road by turning your vehicle into a reliable high-speed data Wi-Fi hotspot with AT&T in-car Wi-Fi. On the network that covers more roads than any other carrier, take your work on the road and AT&T will be there to keep you connected. Connect up to 10 devices and stream conference calls, finish up that presentation, or answer last-minute emails. Why wait? Go to att.com/in-car Wi-Fi today for free trial eligibility. Based on independent third-party data, number of devices varies by manufacturer. Always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use only when vehicle is in operation. Compatible device and vehicle required.
Running a business is no cakewalk, but with SAP Concur Solutions, you can be ready for anything. You can manage travel, expenses, and AP all on one platform that's packed with AI and best practices, and that delivers it all through an easy, clear, I can't believe how simple that is experience. So, while not much can be done about that guy who never fails to burn the microwave popcorn and stink up the entire office, with SAP Concur, you can easily handle almost anything else. Take control of your business finances today at concur.com. That's concur.com.
Experts claim there is nothing tougher than a diamond. But at Diamonds Direct, we beg to differ. Have you ever met a mother? Strong, radiant, timeless. This Mother's Day, give her the gift that meets her match. With diamond jewelry starting at $200, plus Diamonds Direct's exceptional quality and unbeatable everyday price, you're sure to give her a gift that wows this generation and the next to come. Experience the thrill of jewelry shopping done right at Diamonds Direct. Diamonds Direct. Your love, our passion.
When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, and hear from the minds transforming healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more with the help of AI. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Brought to you by the reinvented 2012 Camry. It's ready. Are you?
Get in touch with technology with Tech Stuff from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hello there, everybody, and welcome to Tech Stuff, live from Studio 57G. My name is Chris Paulette. I'm an editor here at HowStuffWorks.com, and sitting next to me, as usual, smirking at my goofy intro, is senior writer Jonathan Strickland.
Huzzah.
So today we're going to talk about a subject that I know a lot more about than I normally do on these things.
Yeah.
Wolfram Alpha.
Right, which is not a search engine.
Not in the least.
No, it is a computational engine.
Yes, it is indeed.
So this was one of those things that's interesting. You know, we always hear about the killer apps or the killer websites or the killer gadgets that are designed to knock off whatever the most popular version of, you know, that thing, whatever that is. You know, when a new one comes out, it's the killer version. So like the HTC G1 was the iPhone killer, and then the Palm Pre was the iPhone killer. iPhone, by the way, still doing really well.
I hadn't heard anything about that.
Right. Well, Wolfram Alpha was supposed to be the Google killer, according to some, just like Cool was supposed to be the Google killer, according to some. But
right.
The thing is, that's not what Wolfram Alpha is about. And if you get away from that, if you can clear your mind of the fact that this is, you know, that you put in a query in a little box and you hit a button, as that's the only similarity to the search engine, really. I mean, it's not designed to pull up links to various other sites.
Well, it does search.
It does, but it's searching data. It's not searching. It's not giving you links to other websites.
Exactly. The reason I do know more about this than normal is instead of doing an hour or two of research for the podcast, I actually wrote an article on that for the website. And one of the cool things about it is, other than the, you know, 533 articles that I saw that had Google killer in it somewhere.
Right.
I think of it as sort of a difference between, Wikipedia and Britannica. Mm-hmm. Because the because Wikipedia allows, you know, anyone to write or edit an article. Well, you know, in general anyway.
Sure.
And Britannica, at least up until recently, was a closed system. Everything in it was prepared by the people at Britannica.
Right. It was all in-house.
Exactly. So the difference here is that while Google is allowing you to search the web and anything and everything on the web that it can get its little spiders on anyway.
Right.
Wolfram Alpha, all the information provided on that engine is actually provided by Wolfram Research itself.
Right.
So it is being vetted by experts who are putting it together.
Yeah, it's not just, you know, it's not just looking for the top result and pulling the numbers from whatever that result is and assuming that because it's the top result, it has to be true.
Right.
It's actually being looked at by a human being and validated.
Yep. And that's causing a lot of frustration. I wrote a couple blog posts about it and I got some comments in which people were saying, you know, I plugged some stuff into Wolfram Alpha and I'm just not getting anything useful. Well, the thing is, if you're looking for, you know, Britney Spears pictures or the latest flight to Newark or whatever, you're not going to find it. That's not what it's for.
Kind of why I'm not using Wolfram Alpha that much because, you know, hit me, baby, one more time.
Please don't tempt me.
nice.
No, it's there for, it's more of a research site.
Right.
You know, talking about science or mathematics, at least that's what it's being used for now. Even music. You can find a lot of information on music there, but not, you know, popular music. We're talking like music theory.
Sure. Let's talk a little bit about the kind of queries you can put into Wolfram Alpha to sort of clear this up a little bit.
Okay.
So, for example, let's say that you are interested in what was the average temperature in a certain city in a certain year. So you could say, all right, well, back in 1998, what was the average temperature of, I don't know, San Diego, California? That might be a piece of data that Wolfram Alpha could actually pull back and give you. Or you could say, give me a range of averages over a range of years. Or you could perhaps even compare two different cities together. That's the kind of data that Wolfram Alpha might be able to pull up. That's just one tiny example. Whereas if you were to search it for Google, you might get a weather website as a recommendation. You might get one that's maybe the San Diego Chamber of Commerce page, maybe an almanac page. You wouldn't necessarily get the data itself. You would be getting links that could point you to the data.
Yeah, you go to Wolfram Alpha if you're looking for the answer.
Right.
If you were looking for a page where you might find the answer, you would look at a search engine.
Yes.
Like Google or Yahoo or Ask.
Right.
Or Microsoft Kumo.
Right.
Or whatever it ended up being called.
Right.
Since we're recording this before it actually launched, I had to throw that joke in there. Anyway. So one of my favorite queries to plug in there, just because I've done a lot of playing around with it. I plugged in, red panda and giant panda. And what Wolfram Alpha will return, if you plug that in, it actually compares, it builds a table and shows you the differences in the species. So you might see about how tall each of them gets and about how long each of them gets and about, how heavy they are. And it actually will show you a breakdown of their classification.
Interesting.
Which is a pretty cool, application.
Sure.
And just for fun, I started throwing in other kinds of animals just to make a really goofy looking graph. So I started throwing in stuff like giant squid and, you know, all sorts of things that are way on the other side.
Yeah.
Exactly. Exactly. So if you're into visualization of data, this will really help you with that because you can actually get a picture of it that it will actually put together for you on the fly, which is very cool.
Yeah. And you can even do things like, let's say you are considering a new diet and you want to know the nutritional information of various foods. You can even plug that stuff into Wolfram Alpha and find out more about it, right?
That's true. You can put in something like chocolate. And it will instantly bring back some information. The funny thing is, it's going to make an assumption. If you say chocolate and plug it in there, and it's going to say, we're assuming you mean milk chocolate. I'm guessing. I haven't actually tried that one.
Right.
But it will bring you back the average fat, The calories and all the other nutritional information about that. Now you say, oh, well, I meant actually dark chocolate. You can go in and clarify that search to bring you back more accurate information. So it actually does, it makes an assumption based on how popular, you know, it thinks it's going to be. And if it's a, if you're looking for something more specific, you can make adjustments.
Right. And there are some queries that may come back with, essentially an error saying that there's no information on that. And in some cases, it's really just that the search algorithm doesn't recognize the way you've worded your query. And if you reword it, you might be able to get that information. But in other cases, it's just simply a fact they haven't managed to get around to entering that data in yet. So, you can try a few different ways. And if nothing's working, that might be a sign that they just, that the database doesn't have that info at the moment.
Yeah, that's true. It does require a little bit of, I would say practice. You right. might need to get used to the syntax. They actually built in some natural language processing, based on what they think you're going to ask it. For example, you know, it has a lot in there about mathematics.
Sure.
If you can actually use some, mathematical shorthand to generate a query in Wolfram Alpha, and it will bring back some results. Now, if you said, say, 1,000 pound feet to Newton meters, it may not get that. You might need to say, convert 1,000 pound feet to Newton meters, and it will go essentially, oh, now I see what you mean. Okay.
Gotcha.
I can convert that for you. Here's what it is.
What about if, let's say that you gave it the dimensions of a building, would it be able to give you the volume?
You know what? I'm betting that it probably could. I haven't tried that.
It's got quite a few algorithms in it, but that's sort of the idea, is that eventually you would get to the point where if you had just an interesting question, thinking like, well, this building is so tall and it's so wide and so deep, I guess you could say, how much volume is that? And it would be able to calculate it. I can see this being a big help to people when they're doing their math homework.
Yeah, actually, it might be a little too much help
right.
in some regards.
Right.
Because you can plug in, say a calculus problem into Wolfram Alpha, and it will give you a result. And it also has a little link off to the side that says show steps, and it will break it down into each individual step that you need to go through in the process of this complicated problem and, you know, how you get the result. Now, theoretically, you could go in and copy this all down. But if you do that and cheat on your homework,
you're not actually learning anything
and you're going to fail a test in class.
Yeah. Although I think that would have been very handy back when I took calculus, because, I had difficulties grasping certain concepts. And if I had had this to show me each step, perhaps I would have been able to follow the logic of each step a little better. It felt to me back when I was taking calculus, and granted, this was many moons ago, but when I was taking it, it just felt like there was no rhyme or reason to the rules that I was applying. And so perhaps using something like this would have kind of made me understand and therefore do better on a test than I would have before. Now, granted, that's only if I were actually using it to see how it got from one step to the next, as opposed to just copying it down so that I could do my homework in record time and I can go play Halo for another hour or so.
Well, you know, if you actually learned what you were supposed to be learning and could actually go ahead and play Halo, then you'd be killing two birds with one stone.
Yes. I don't wish to cast aspersions upon my calculus teacher either, but I don't think she listens, so it's all right.
I had similar problems grasping calculus, and I probably also would have welcomed the additional, you know, taking you step by step through it, because she really lost patience with me.
Now, the cool thing about Wolfram Alpha is that it's really going to make research a lot easier for certain applications.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm looking forward to using it more in the future when the database is a bit more robust, because there are certain things that, facts and figures that I would love to have access to. And I can't always be certain that I have the latest information. Sometimes I find information that's a year or two old, and I don't really want to depend on that, because it could have changed dramatically. For example, just throwing a random thing out there, and I'm not saying that Wolfram Alpha actually has this. In fact, I know that my query didn't work most recently. But let's say I wanted to find out how many users MySpace has.
Mm-hmm.
That would be a useful thing, you know, just, or being able to compare various social networking sites across a an array of different criteria. It would be great to be able to do that and just take a quick look and say, oh, look at this. It's kind of surprising that such and such social networking site has gained a lot of ground over the big names over the last 12 months.
Mm-hmm.
So I can see this being a very useful tool for me in the future and for lots of other people as well, students, scholars, you know, more other journalists. And just if you just have one of those things where, you know, you just need to know the answer to something, like what's the population of Detroit compared to the way it was 10 years ago? I mean, that's kind of, it's kind of cool to be able to get all that at your fingertips instantly.
Yep. And it does calculate a lot of that stuff, on the fly, things like, currency conversions.
Mm-hmm.
You can find out, what temperature it is at any place in the world. You know, it actually gets information from local weather stations. So you can look up, say, Detroit and find out what temperature it is. You can find out when the sun's going to set. You can even find out when the next lunar eclipse is going to be.
Right.
And it tells you that in real time. You can get, stock quotes just by putting that in.
If you put
stock symbol or a company name, it will give you company information.
If you put any date in, it will give you anything significant about that date, including any holidays that fall on that date, any historical events that happened on that date. So you could put your birth date in and it'll tell you, you know, like what day of the week it was. It'll tell you what phase the moon was in on that day.
Yep.
It's kind of an interesting thing that you can even see like how far into the year that date was, how far into the month that date was, in case you weren't able to work it out yourself.
If you're in a hurry, you know.
Right, I guess. Like, oh gosh, you're right. June 26th, that is 26 days into June. It's really a neat tool that you can, it's one of those things where you plug any date in. So, of course, everyone just immediately goes puts their birthday in to see what happened. By the way, nothing significant other than my birth happened on my birthday, according to Wolfram Alpha.
Well, you know, we had to reserve it.
Right, just for my birth.
Exactly.
Thank you. I would hate to be overshadowed by something.
So, this was all sort of sprung on us, which is very, very surprising considering all the hype for all the other tech things that go on, you know, a lot of stuff we talk about too.
Sure.
But it actually sort of goes back to a March 5th, 2009 post by Stephen Wolfram in the Wolfram blog. And, he said, Wolfram Alpha is coming. And ordinarily, you know, we might not be so interested, but, you know, Stephen Wolfram is a former child prodigy. He actually got his doctorate when he was 20 years old. From Caltech, which means no one from MIT will be using Wolfram Alpha. I joke.
They're just going to hack it.
No, he wrote his first scientific paper at 15 and got his PhD in theoretical physics when he was 20.
Hmm.
And then Wolfram Research, which is the company that actually, you know, he started and produces Wolfram Alpha, created a piece of software that I'm sure many of you have heard of, but like me, sort of only vaguely are aware of, called Mathematica. Which basically crunches numbers in serious, serious ways. It's not the kind of thing that you would buy for fun. It's, you know, a $300 piece of software for the home version. I can't even imagine what the business version costs. But that's actually what Wolfram Alpha is based on. It uses the computational algorithms in Mathematica to bring down, you know, the data that you're looking for and crunch it together to make a results page. It has a lot to do with the way it looks too, because Mathematica helps you visualize mathematical information. So this works a lot different from the Google algorithms that Google uses to search the web.
Right, right. Yeah, Google algorithms are more about finding the links that most people are linking to, really, and judging that as a symbol of quality. So if a lot of people are linking to a particular page, that page in Google's eyes is more important than other pages that contain the same keywords and therefore goes higher up on the list. That's a huge oversimplification of the Google algorithm because there's a lot more to it than that, but that's the basic idea. But yeah, like we said, since Wolfram Alpha is not a search engine, it doesn't really apply.
And it's not the kind of place that you will find advertising yet.
Right.
Google has pulled down $21 billion in revenue 99% of that is advertising revenue. As of right now, Wolfram Alpha does not have any advertising on it, although there is some code that's commented out, apparently, that has room for possible advertising. So that may be a clue as to what they're going to do with it eventually once it gets up and running and more robust.
Cool.
You want to know some technical stuff about Wolfram Alpha?
Hit me with it.
Because it's, wow, you are just so generous with the offers to hit you today.
Yeah, well, I'm feeling like a target anyway, so just go for it.
Wolfram Alpha runs on a system, uses the world's 66th fastest supercomputer. A system of custom Dell hardware built by R Systems. It's called RSMAR. And it can do 39.6 trillion mathematical operations per second. It's got 4,608 processor cores with 576 quad-core Harpertown Xeon machines. It's got 65,536 gigabytes of memory, which is just slightly faster than my laptop computer at my desk here at HowStuffWorks.com.
Wow.
They actually have 5 colocation facilities, so it's technically 2 supercomputers. And, you know, that's a whole lot of processing power, but they're probably going to need it if they're going to keep adding information to this computational,
engine.
Computational engine.
Sure. I mean, before we go too far, I also wanted to mention that, the builders, the developers of Wolfram Alpha have a sense of humor.
Yes. So you mean not, you can't just plug in a mathematical conversion or, you know, some kind of musical note series and find out the distances between the notes?
Yeah, you can. There's more to it than that. You can do that, but you can do more than that. There are certain Easter eggs that are in Wolfram Alpha, and some of them have been publicized, and I'm sure there are many others that we haven't even thought of yet that someone's eventually going to uncover when they just say, I'm going to be a smart aleck and put this in, and then they're going to find out there's actually an answer. For example, you can open up Wolfram Alpha and type in, why did the chicken cross the road? The answer you will get is, to get to the other side. So it's not that it doesn't tell you that there's no answer. It gives you the answer to the joke. And it's, of course, just like everything else in Wolfram Alpha. It's just presented there in black and white, you know, matter of fact. So that kind of makes it even more funny to me because there's no indication that this is a joke. But there are a lot of others that you can put in as well.
Yep. I know that in one preview blog I read when I was trying to collect information for my article, you know, there are all kinds of, well, this is really cool, or I don't know if it'll be able to knock off Google, you know, random comments like that. But somebody said, I want to know what the airspeed is of an unladen swallow. And if it can tell me that, I'm quitting Google forever. I'm paraphrasing this comment.
Right.
As it turns out, you can plug that question in and get an answer.
Yes, the answer is not, do you mean an African or a European swallow? It's more complicated than that. But it is, in fact, a reference to the fantastic film Monty Python and the Holy Grail.
And it does make an assumption. It says, assuming you mean.
Right, exactly, which is hysterical.
All right.
And then there are other ones as well. I'm sure, well, like I said, we'll find more. Let's see what. Oh,
the meaning of life.
Exactly. What is the answer to life, the universe, and everything? 42. So there are obviously some Douglas Adams fans over in the Wolfram Alpha team as well. So, yeah, I mean, it's great to know that not only are there these dedicated people trying to put in this very important information that will soon be at our disposal at a moment's notice, they are also putting in goofy answers for those of us who are complete and utter dorks.
Well, there are a lot of people who are taking shots at Wolfram Alpha because it isn't Google, and also because it doesn't have every answer to every problem ever invented.
Right.
It's going to take them a while. There are about 250 people working on the project right now, and you know, there's a lot of info out there.
Yeah.
They have to break things down into little snippets. Apparently there are more than 10 trillion pieces of tagged information in the system already.
Yeah, it's a lot.
Yep. And when you're actually going in and making sure that the answers are correct before you put them in, that's sort of time and labor intensive. So, you know, I think we're going to need to be somewhat patient. But I think it's a really cool and very useful tool.
And you're not the only one. there are companies like Google that also think it's a very cool and very useful tool and are incorporating bits of the functionality of Wolfram Alpha into their own coding.
Yeah, I actually I had heard that Stephen Wolfram and Sergey Brin actually talked before the release. And, you know, he seemed very impressed. Mr. Brin seemed very impressed with what Dr. Wolfram
and for
put
a while,
together.
Google has been doing some similar things to this. For instance, if you put in a city name, it might actually, you know, at the top tell you what the temperature and other little bits of data are about that city before you go and click on a link. But not to the extent that Wolfram Alpha does. But it was clear that Google was already interested in this kind of thing from the get-go. And you could also do things like, you know, conversions and stuff through Google as well, to some extent. And I think that we're going to see a lot more search engines try and incorporate this sort of approach and present it in such a way where it doesn't dwarf out the search results, but it's sort of an addition to them. So
sometimes you just need the answer.
Yeah.
And
yeah, sometimes you don't want to click on three or four links trying to get to that one piece of information that you want.
That's true. That's true. That's the way I feel about it anyway.
Yeah, so, pretty much everybody, I think. I mean, there may be a few people who kind of enjoy the whole discovery route where you find something that you weren't expecting. But if you really need that one piece of information, you pretty much put blinders up and you just scan for that info anyway. So
yeah. Yeah, I think there's room in the average person's toolbox for something like that. So, you know, good luck to the Wolfram gang, and hopefully they'll find a place in everyone's heart.
I certainly hope so. I mean, it definitely helps everyone, really. I mean, it just adds more options whenever you have to get data. So yep. Good luck, guys. Now, did you have anything else to add for Wolfram Alpha?
No, that's it for right now.
I guess that just leaves listener mail.
All right, then.
All right, here we go. My name's Josh, and I was listening to your podcast and found these three mistakes that are video game related.
Uh-oh.
Number one, in your emulation or virtual machine podcast, you referred to the old games on the Wii Shop channel as WiiWare. WiiWare is games. I guess it'd be WiiWare are games. Made specially for the Wii. Example, World of Goo or Tetris Party. I believe that you meant virtual console titles, which are games for older systems. And yeah, that's kind of what we were talking about, were the old games on the Nintendo. But number two, in the same podcast, you said that those games were emulated, which is not true either. The games have been reformatted in a way that the Wii can read them, sometimes with added features such as Pokemon Snap, which lets you save pictures to the Wii message board. I heard that Nintendo wouldn't let developers just emulate the games. Also true. It's reformatted as opposed to emulated. If you are emulating a game, then you are trying to recreate the way that the original hardware, right, the environment that the original hardware and software had in order to play the game, whereas this was reformatting so they would work with different hardware.
Okay.
Number three, in another podcast, one after the April Fool's podcast, someone told you that you forgot the Legend of Zelda movie trailer joke by YouTube. YouTube did not, in fact, make that joke. IGN's video team made the video, and that's why it was so believable. Someone on YouTube copied the video. So that wasn't our mistake. That was a listener mistake.
That makes me feel better.
Yeah. So two out of three were ours, and the other one was someone else's. Actually, I knew that YouTube hadn't made that video as well. I knew that it had been posted to YouTube. Because that was a listener mail, I had not actually looked up the original creators.
Yeah.
Right. Though I had seen it. The video in question at some point. So thank you very much, Josh. Greatly appreciate it. If any of you want to write to us, you can at techstuff@howstuffworks.com. And we will talk to you again really soon.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit howstuffworks.com. And be sure to check out the new TechStuff blog, now on the HowStuffWorks homepage.
Brought to you by the reinvented 2012 Camry. It's ready. Are you?
Running a business is no cakewalk, but with SAP Concur Solutions, you can be ready for anything. You can manage travel, expenses, and AP all on one platform that's packed with AI and best practices, and that delivers it all through an easy, clear, I can't believe how simple that is experience. So, while not much can be done about that guy who never fails to burn the microwave popcorn and stink up the entire office, with SAP Concur, you can easily handle almost anything else. Take control of your business finances today at concur.com. That's concur.com.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
Our kids have said to us since we moved to Minnesota, we are far more active than we've ever been anywhere else we've ever lived.
Moving to Minnesota opened up a lot of doors for us.
Just this overall sense of community, of values that, you know, Minnesotans have.
It's a real accepting, loving community, especially with two young kids.
See why CNBC ranks Minnesota number 4 best state to live and work. A great place to work, an even better place to live. ExploreMinnesota.com/live.